1-800-449-8686.
Talking with David G. Hall. He is the Vice President of Syndication for The Phil Hendry Show. And new guidelines have come down from the FCC today. You probably know, because it's been on our minds in the broadcast business, that the FCC has been cracking down on indecent speech, obscenity, profanity, etc., and they have not really articulated much in the way of what those guidelines are. We got a set of guidelines that kind of go even further than the obscenity guidelines, David?
That is correct. On radio and television, because they are federally licensed, there are certain things that are forbidden to say. And before we go any further, Phil, I wanted to mention that this is not an attack on free speech. I hear people say it's an attack on free speech. You can say anything you want. You can walk down the street and say any word you want. I hear those words in the street. You do too. Nobody gets fined. But if you say those same words on the radio, you get fined, because there are certain things that the FCC and the governing power can control. And
well, what does that mean exactly?
Well, who's in charge? The governing power. And they look at negative opinions, negativity in general, in a poor light. We're at war right now. This isn't the best time for our country, especially negative comments about, for instance, leadership or the upcoming campaign.
Now, I've heard people be negative, but you're talking about since the FCC crackdown in March, and it isn't just about negativity. It's just what people are saying. The most important thing that I think came down today is that listeners themselves can now be fined for comments made.
That is correct, Phil.
How do we find, how are listeners fined? Just so the people out there know how this works. People calling in, using indecent speech, or
violating any of the guidelines that I'm going to lay out can be fined. And the way that's done is pretty simple. All 800 numbers are recorded with phone logs. We can pull a phone log from any radio show that you do, and we can track the phone calls that came in and the time those phone calls came in and the phone numbers they originated at. So it's pretty easy to do that. What I'm doing is taking steps that we need to take to let all of our hosts know what somebody's limits are. The good news is it won't affect all of us or what we do on the radio. We just want to make sure these guidelines from the FCC are adhered to.
All right, let's be specific with me on some of these as they pertain to our show.
Well, we just want you to exercise, obviously, more control over your callers, not just the content of your discussion, but the people who call in, because, as I said, those people can be fined. The toll-free number locks the callers' number in along with the time they called. Tracing's not a problem. I'll give you an example of what you wanted, Phil.
Yeah.
Support for the president is fine. I think we all want to support the candidates that we do. That is within the First Amendment. But you are not allowed to say FCC guidelines dictate. You are not allowed to go extreme with those opinions, such as he's the greatest president that ever lived, or compare him to Abraham Lincoln. Now, that sounds crazy, but it gives extreme thinkers ideas.
Now, explain how that works as the FCC sees it.
Suppose you had a caller to your show, and they were calling in to say that they really supported John Kerry. They really loved his candidacy. The FCC handed down guidelines last month basically explaining that that kind of hardcore, over-the-top caller only serves to inspire people who are opposed to John Kerry to go out and form these right-wing militia units, these other extreme conservative Republican viewpoints that could be dangerous. Those callers can be fined up to $10,000 in some cases.
All right, so we're talking about callers being more mindful not to say, I really, really love John Kerry, or I really, really loved George Bush. We're not saying they can't say, I like the president, I support him.
You're certainly entitled to that. But to compare either John Kerry or George Bush or any political candidate to the greatest whatever, you know, just the greatest candidate we've ever had, that tends to anger people opposed to John Kerry and George Bush, and they will perhaps be inspired to go out and form these skinhead groups or these right-wing militia groups. Frankly, it also, I think, will cause a better kind of a talk show caller to get on the air instead of these people that are there, in my opinion, a lot really boring, and we're talking about all these, you know, how great the president is or how great John Kerry is.
Give me another example.
Well, another example that I'm just reading here from the memorandum that came down. Overall negative comments about the economy. The FCC is looking unfavorably on that. So to give you an example, when you have a caller comment on the economy you need to remind them to either be positive about it or refrain from commenting. The FCC is noting that public negativity about the economy affects jobs and employment, and if those comments are traced back to talk radio callers, they can be fined up to $10,000. You are tracing them back to a source that's really not qualified to comment. It's, again, an average, a less-than-average source.
So negative comments about the economy can spur unemployment, job loss. The FCC's cracking down on that as well.
That is correct, as of today. But the unique aspect to all of this is that the talk show caller, his or herself, is now being held responsible. And I find that is groundbreaking.
David G. Hall, of Vice President of Syndication, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Over-the-top support of a candidate, negative comments about the economy. This sounds like, to a lot of people, and you need to explain why it isn't, David, inhibiting freedom of speech.
No, it is not.
All right, why?
Because, again, the public airwaves are owned by the public, but they are licensed by the federal government. You can go down the street here and you can say anything you want about George Bush. You can go down the street here and say anything you want about the economy. When you get on the public airwaves, the FCC is empowered to regulate the kind of speech that goes out over the airwaves so that it is not injurious to the community at large, and it is not, especially with children listening. And you got to understand something, Phil. We've got a lot of people out there. This is the world's biggest classroom, as Dave Garraway used to say. It is no place to mishandle information.
Now, there is something that I think is interesting, and it may be controversial. It's called the Jessica provision. This is in the FCC guidelines, and this is apparently named after a victim of some predator. Is that correct?
That is correct, Phil. Her name was Jessica Randolph. She lived in Bakers, Colorado. She was murdered by a local predator after people heard a talk show where the callers were invited to call in and talk about their kids' test scores and how great their kids' school was. It was one of these hours where people were invited to call in and talk about how great it is to have kids. The FCC was able to trace that problem, the murder of this young girl, to this talk show that incited this guy, this molester.
And so people calling up and talking positively about their kids incited a child molester.
Yes, because to him, hearing talk about kids, it gets these guys hot or something. And they were able to trace the problem of, in fact, they were able to trace the problem of child molestation in eastern Ohio to a talk show in a city out there. People were calling in, talking about a local preschool, and all of a sudden, you know, these guys are getting interested, these child molesters. So what we ask people to do is to limit the conversation they have about their kids on the radio as well, because it's very, very insightful to these child molesters and these pedophiles.
All right. We're talking about now not overly praising the president, not talking about the economy negatively, and not talking about kids in too glowing a way, because all of these things can have negative impact on public perception.
Well, it's not public perception. It's just that if you say, I really love John Kerry, the right-wingers will start these militia groups. If you say, I really love my kid, it gets one of these child molesters hot. And if you say, the economy is really bad, I don't have a job, that doesn't inspire confidence. The Federal Communications Commission is empowered to limit that kind of speech, and the listener himself can be fined. I can't stress that enough. I want people out there listening to know that they may think that they can get away with a comment, and maybe they could in the past, but now their phone numbers are locked in on our 800 line, their negative comment is evaluated, and we can, if need be, trace that call. And they could be liable for fines up to $15,000. So I know a lot of these people that call talk shows want to get cute and want to argue with the host. Or a lot of times I've been on your show, Phil, and they want to argue with me. I can honestly say to them now, they got to watch their step. especially when they're talking with me, but in general.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, the number here on the Phil Hendry Show, as we talk about new FCC guidelines that make it legal to fine callers to talk shows for the things they say. But a lot of this stuff has gotten, they're broadening out. It covers now negative comments, not just obscenity, but if you talk too glowingly about a candidate, if you negatively comment on the economy, if you talk too much about children, all these things can be negative. They can be taken and create a negative environment out there. The last comment you made, I got to ask you about.
What's that?
When you say, especially when they talk to me.
Well, all I'm saying is that the FCC guidelines make it legal now to fine listeners.
But you said this, so they should watch what they say, especially when they talk to me.
Because I've been on your show before. I've been on other talk shows. I've done talk shows where people feel empowered to call up and get smart and say some cute stuff. And I can lock their phone call, and I can get their phone number, and I can give it to the FCC, and I can say, here is where they have had direct disrespect for a federally licensed facility. And that also is actionable.
All right, so criticizing as well general managers or program directors of radio stations is actionable because they run...
They run a federally licensed facility, yeah.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. All this stuff just came down today, FCC guidelines, which the industry's been asking for a long time, now state. Any over-the-top praising of political candidates is violates the guidelines because it may inspire political nuts to form groups. Any discussion of children should be held to a minimum because it might get molesters incited. Any discussion of the economy should be fairly upbeat because negative comments of the economy will drive down, obviously, stock prices, unemployment figures go up, etc. And criticizing general managers, program directors, anybody who is the manager of a federally licensed facility, a radio station, in criticizing them, you also run the risk of being fined because they, are, as I say, are employed by a federally licensed facility. 1-800-449-8686. The fact that our industry is being limited is one thing. The fact that they're now starting to address callers, that is, the non-professionals that involve themselves in radio shows, is something else entirely. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry, drug addict. Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
FCC guidelines handed down today make it not only possible to fine radio stations for comments that may be deemed too negative in terms of public confidence, but also you can fine callers. And to answer your question, David, you asked me off the air, what is the caller volume like since those guidelines came down and since we've been talking about it? It's very light.
It doesn't surprise me, Phil, and it's actually a positive because what that does is it scares off people who are not serious callers or people who are going to think twice about running, their big, I don't mean to say their big mouths, but running their big mouths about their political opinions because everybody, as they say, opinions are like you-know-what. Everybody's got one. But now that callers know they can be fined for overly praising or being overly negative about a political candidate, the economy, or their children, they're going to think twice about calling up and subjecting the rest of us to their, at many times, very mundane opinions.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. We are taking call. We're not tracing everybody's call, but we do want you to be careful not to be too overly enthusiastic about any political candidate or too negative on the economy. Also, talking about children, I know all of you are proud of your children, but it can incite pedophiles.
Yeah, when you're talking about your kids, about how great they are, how much you love being a mom, it gets these guys, it gets them hot, so you have to be careful of that.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Lenny, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with David Hall. Lenny?
Yeah.
Go ahead, sir.
I just wanted to say, what about Don Imus? Don Imus knocks everybody in the political arena.
Yes, he does.
On a regular basis. I've been listening to him for 30 years.
He's going to have to curtail it because he is creating a climate where people are going to start to want to support the other guy. For instance, I haven't listened to Don. Who does he criticize the most?
Well, everybody before they get on the air. It's tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah,
okay.
He criticizes
Bush.
He's doing
it in a joking manner.
Well, I know, but he criticizes...
Stern does the same thing.
By criticizing
Stern off the air?
By criticizing Bush, he's going to make people want to vote more for Kerry, and that makes it unfair.
Do you actually believe
and
that?
Sir, I'm just telling what the FCC is saying. Do I believe it? That's not my job. My job is to institute these guidelines. And the other thing I got to tell you is I am a program director at a federally licensed facility, so you need to watch how you talk to me.
Okay, let me just ask you this.
Yes, sir, go ahead.
Ask you a simple question.
Yes, sir.
Don Imus, tongue-in-cheek, knocks everybody before they get on the air, all right?
Okay.
Stern does the same thing, but they throw... Okay, Stern is adolescent humor, all right? It's geared... for a certain mentality.
Well, Stern's humor is far more sophisticated than Don Imus's. And that's why they leave, that's why they're afraid, you know, of Don Imus more than they are of Stern. Because Don Imus is really for a lesser educated person.
So Howard Stern is for...
How do you arrive at that point?
Well, because first of all, Howard Stern is, before you take your license test, everybody's got to be licensed. Phil's got a third class license. I've got a first class ticket. Howard Stern does... Howard Stern has a first-class broadcast license. Don Imus only has a third class because Don Imus is not as intelligent. And so, therefore, they give him a third-class frequency. He broadcasts to, I don't want to say idiots, but he...
Well, Don Imus doesn't broadcast to idiots. He just broadcasts to lesser intelligent people than Howard Stern.
Right.
Okay, let me ask
like you. Like Don Imus.
Why does Imus get all these first-class... He gets Pat Buchanan on the air all the time. He gets Senator McCain on the air all the time.
Right, yeah. Because he's going to have to watch that, because by getting Pat Buchanan on, everybody's going to want to vote for Robert Kennedy. And he's got to watch that, because nobody's going to like... Once Buchanan opens his mouth, everybody hates him. You know that, and I know that. That makes it unfair.
So you're saying another...
I like to listen to these. I like to listen to both sides.
I understand, but you're going to have to... Now you're going to have to take Don Imus watered down. And Don Imus watered down is like Radio Disney. I mean, it's... I don't know what that's going to be like, but...
So Don Imus will not be able to...
Are you saying we're supposed to curtail our ability to justify things by only listening to one side of an argument?
No, sir, you're welcome to watch television, read the internet, but when it comes to radio, we have to make sure that you can't say you like Pat Buchanan so much that everybody's going to want to vote for, like, a left-wing communist because Pat Buchanan is disgusting.
Aren't you pushing totalitarianism?
No, this is just the FCC, sir. It's not me. I am the licensee. The FCC granted us a broadcast license based upon our ability to observe these guidelines.
And so, in other words,
have you ever heard of Thomas Jefferson?
I'm not familiar. No,
Thomas Jefferson.
The Constitution,
the Declaration of Independence.
Yeah. You ever hear of that?
Of course I have. But see, now you're getting rude. Now you're getting rude.
How am I getting rude?
Well, you're asking me. You're saying, am I an idiot?
Rude.
And I work for a federally licensed facility, so now.
You can't find this guy for that.
I'm not going to find him, but I'm giving him a warning.
All right, hold on. 1-800-449-8686. The FCC new guidelines. You can't praise or criticize anybody too much. Phil Henry Show.
And now more on The Phil Henry Show.
We're discussing with David G. Hall, who's the Vice President of Syndication for the Phil Henry Show, the specific FCC guidelines that have come down as of this afternoon. Among them, a controversial provision whereby callers, talk show callers, listeners, can also share in fines if there is unacceptable material on the air. Additionally, being overly critical of anyone that is an employee of a federally licensed radio station. And David, you were just saying to that last caller, watch how you talk to me, meaning you?
That is correct.
Okay, doesn't that sound a little smartass?
No, it's not. No, what I'm saying is this. You want to call up and then talk to me, that's fine. But that guy said something like, have you ever heard of Thomas Jefferson? So in other words, he was saying to me, you're a blithering idiot. And that's the kind of thing that, you know, is going to, you know, piss anybody off. So that's why I said to him, you know, please watch it. Now, the new FCC guidelines, I don't think are overly burdensome, and I certainly don't think they're overly censoring. All they say is, yes, you can support President Bush, but don't go on and on and on about how he's the greatest president since Lincoln, which I've heard you do, Phil.
No, I have not. I've simply said other presidents have faced what he has faced. Lincoln was one of them.
Well, in the minds of the people listening, and again, you don't have a very high intellect out there listening to talk radio. They think you're comparing him to Lincoln. And that means those people are going to turn around and support Kerry because you're making them angry.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Mary, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am, go ahead.
Hi, I'd just like to say I just turned into your show and I just heard this new regulation, and I didn't know that the FCC could overrule the Constitution.
Well, no, ma'am. They're not.
Well,
first of all, ma'am, the FCC can regulate speech. For instance, you can't say obscenity on the air.
Well, I'm not talking about obscenity.
Well, what we're saying is a federally licensed facility can be controlled. You can go down the street, you can get on a soapbox, you can do anything you want and say whatever you want. No one's saying you can't. But when you're on a radio station, you got to kind of watch what you say. And for instance,
well, I'm not talking about profanity. What you're saying is you can't speak too much for or against the candidate.
Well, in many ways, that is profanity. That is profanity.
So what you're saying is I can't say that George Bush is the most embarrassing president we've ever had.
No, that's totally ridiculous. First of all, you can't say that because you don't know that's true.
Well, that mock press conference last week.
See, now you've just made people want to vote for Kerry.
Well, good. That's not good.
That's
so
not good.
So you're saying I can be fined for speaking out against the president?
Yes, no. You can be fined for saying that he is either the worst president we ever had or the greatest. I think he's a bad president.
And I hope they fine me so I can sue the FCC.
Well, see, you're also showing me you're also showing me disrespect.
I'm not showing you disrespect.
How is she showing you disrespect?
Because she's, like, arguing with me about something that I know more about. I'm in the broadcast business. She isn't.
No, I'm talking about the FCC. I'm not talking about you.
The broadcast business is the FCC.
I'm saying that we are not allowed to say certain things about political leaders.
We are not allowed.
We are into office. We are a democracy.
Ma'am,
I can say what I want to say.
You can say anything you want. You just can't.
Out of respect.
You can't say something really stupid like he's the worst president we ever had.
That's not stupid. That's a matter of opinion.
Well,
a matter of opinion, and you saying that I'm.
Ma'am, if you really believe that,
you're insulting me, and you should be fined.
For what? I work for a federally licensed facility. Who are you?
I work for a big time law firm. Who are you? I've never heard of you.
Big deal. I'm talking about the FCC. You show me the rules that govern. No, ma'am. You show me the rules that govern your profession.
I'm talking about the FCC. Did you create this rule? Was this your
regulation? I work for the FCC. I work for a federally licensed facility. So you telling me that I'm an idiot, you can be fined. Now, if you show me the rules.
I didn't say that you're an idiot. I said that the president.
Wait a minute. Let's stick to the point, if you don't mind, folks. Maya is saying she believes it is within her right to say the president's the most embarrassing president that we've ever had. True or not?
It is true, just not on the radio. She can say it anywhere she wants. She can't do it here. The FCC won't allow it. And plus, she's not allowed to continue to argue with me. I know more about radio than she does. What's that about?
That's the whole point of a call-in radio show.
Here she goes. She's doing it again.
So what you're saying is nobody should say anything.
No, ma'am, I said to you, you are certainly welcome to say George Bush is a lousy president. But when you say he's the worst we've ever had, that's just dumb.
No, that is
and we're trying to protect children.
Opinion.
We are trying to protect children from
stupidity.
Children
don't listen to talk radio.
We are
trying to... don't listen to Howard Stern. They're in school. What are you
we
talking
are try-
about?
They're going to school. I don't know what time your kids go to school, but I don't. Maybe they don't go to school. But what I'm saying...
Okay, now see, here we go. Here we go.
Insulting.
Well, I'm sorry, but you...
Howard Stern
you're insulting
school hours.
You're insulting...
Don't listen to him.
You're insulting me by saying stupid stuff.
Well, what did she say that's stupid?
Me by...
By coming on the air and saying he's the worst president we ever had. What an imbecilic thing to say. Then she can say I don't like him.
No, it's a very true thing to say.
No, it's not. It's not. It's not
well,
true. Now you know what I'm going
to
do. I got to lock her phone number.
David, hold on for a minute. I don't want to be the first radio show to enforce these guidelines. Okay, the lady.
I want you to lock that phone number.
You know what? I would like to talk about that when we get off the air. I don't want to start locking...
I want you to send me a letter saying that you're locking my phone number so I can sue the FCC.
You sue the FCC? What are you going to sue the FCC for? Why? Sue the FCC for what? Saying that you hurt children? You're hurting
children.
Because you're being dumb. Because you're dumb.
George Bush is an enemy of the United States.
Okay, there we go. You got to lock her number.
Worst president ever.
Well, you're black, so I figured you'd say that.
Okay, now what is that about?
I'm black?
Well, they're all Democrats.
You asked for the FCC and you said I'm black?
You're black. They're all Democrats.
Lock my number?
Well, wait a minute. You're black, right? Aren't you black?
What does that have to do with my opinion?
Because all black people vote for Kerry.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Well, of course they do.
Kerry yet, okay?
She's supposed to.
I'm
She's
in California.
Black.
I haven't voted for Kerry.
Ma'am, do black folks get a letter saying, remember, your duty is to vote for Kerry?
I don't know every black
All right, okay, look, let's
States.
Just...
You are ridiculous.
I'm locking your number. Hey, I could be just as dumb as you.
How come you get to be dumb and she can't?
Because I'm a licensed guy. What? Are you licensed?
Licensed for what? Yeah, I have my driver's license. What do you mean, license? License?
Well, you know, I could make a joke. I could say, do you have a dog license? But I don't. I don't say that because I'm a gentleman.
Am I licensed for what? You said, am I licensed
Are you licensed
for
by the FCC? No.
Am I licensed?
Can I ask you a question, Maya? Seriously, in every pack of cool cigarettes, is there a note that says, remember to vote for Kerry?
Okay. So you're a racist now. Is that what you're doing?
No, I'm just, she said, oh, Bush is lousy. And I said, well, naturally, she's...
Can I have your full name? Because I'm going to complain about...
Yes. My full name, Alvin... A-L-V-I-N.
Uh-huh.
Chipmunk.
Uh-huh.
Okay, David, see, so in other words, you can say anything you want, but when she wants your name...
Phil, again, I work for a federally licensed facility. It's got nothing to do with me.
And that's what's going on. You don't want anybody to speak out because a lot of people listen to talk radio, period.
Ma'am,
period.
You can say anything you want about George Bush.
All right. Talking about Bush, then there was a problem. He's
what kind?
Been doing the same type of show for over 20 years.
What kind of Bush?
Hasn't been this kind of problem.
Oh, you just want to be Robin Quivers.
Oh, I don't want to
yeah,
be.
Yeah, you do. You wish you were
I've
her.
I've been listening to Howard Stern since.
You, yeah, and you've been jealous of Robin Quivers from day one.
And you know that because
say...
I don't like Bush.
You don't like Bush? I do.
Well, see, I would consider
okay,
you a
see,
moron.
In other words, that's really disgusting.
She thought I was talking about the guy.
Right,
well,
in any
see,
event,
I don't have that type of mind. You know what? You should be fine for that.
Yeah, that. Why aren't you fine for that,
That's
David?
It.
Because I'm the licensee.
I cannot believe. You know what? This has got to be a joke. You cannot.
David, I want to ask you a question. When I got this memorandum,
what is David's last name? Please.
My last name is Hall. H-A-L-L. David Hall. You can write to me in care of the Phil Henry Show, Sherman Oaks, California. Now let me tell you something. I'm a federal licensee, and I don't take my job lightly. And when you come on and you say that George Bush is the worst president, and school children hear that, you ought to be ashamed of yourself.
You
ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Let school children listen to the show. What world do you live in?
Look, why don't you go stalk Robin Quivers and wear your hair like her?
Why don't you go burn across?
All right, okay, fine.
What are you laughing at?
I'm laughing at the... Why don't you go stalk Robin Quivers? Here is Frank. Frank, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yes,
yes, sir.
Hello. Interesting conversation you got going here.
So far, so good, Frank.
My concern is that, you know, is that this regulation or law, however, it's all based on conjecture, and they'd have to prove that you damaged somebody.
No, you don't. No. No, the guideline, this has got nothing to do with a civil suit, sir. This has got to do with guidelines of a broadcast facility licensed by the federal government.
Absolutely.
You don't have to prove anything. What you do have to do is lay down the guidelines to the local broadcast entity and say, this is how speech must be regulated. If not, you get fined. Now, there isn't any civil process. It's either you get a hearing in front of the FCC.
Well, Okay, but that's...
What about the caller? What about the caller who gets fined? What about the caller? For instance, you said this guy gets fined because he made an overly negative comment, because he talked about his children, and that might have provoked child molesters.
He gets a hearing in front of the FCC like everybody else. In other words, he states, and we have to subpoena the tapes, obviously, so we get the tapes, we listen to his call, listen to his side, listen to the host side, and then the FCC makes a ruling. But generally, the FCC is going to come down pretty hard. If this guy just comes on and gratuitously talks about how great his kids are, and the next thing you know, some guy out there that likes kids gets hot, it's going to be a slam dunk. He's going to get a fine.
Well, they're going to have to prove that it came from him.
We can prove it came from you because we can lock your phone number. And
what about multiple parties using that phone number?
Well, whoever has that phone number and can prove that they weren't using the phone at the time, fine.
But
all right, Frank, thanks for calling. 1-800-449-8686. One more call. Scott, go ahead.
Yeah, I got to believe this has got to be a huge fart.
Did you say fart? Well, I wish it was, sir. I can show you. It's going to be in the paper tomorrow morning, FCC guidelines, Michael Powell.
So, and your position, Mr. Hall, with
I'm a vice president of syndication. I'm a manager of operations.
Manager of operations. So all of a sudden, now with this new guideline that comes down, you've got a license to get on the air and crack on people, degrade them based
no,
on their
I did not. No, I did not degrade them.
Yes, you did. The lady caller, Mary, you said she must like Carrie because she's black. That's degrading. That's not right.
Hey, I'll tell you what, it is degrading to like Carrie. You're right about that.
No,
so
you said...
Is this a Clear Channel operation? Is Hall? Is Mr. Hall's show through...
This is the Phil Hendry Show. My name is David Hall. I work for Phil Hendry Enterprises as the vice president of syndication.
And who's the umbrella corporation for the show?
The umbrella corporation is Safny Broadcasting.
And where are they located?
They're located in Hershey, Pennsylvania.
Okay. So let me ask you a question then. As a federal licensee, then you've got the right. You can anytime that somebody insults you or a general manager of a radio station.
Yes.
Now they can get fined. Is that right?
Well, that's because we are working for a federal licensor.
Okay.
Yes.
So I'm a business owner.
Yeah.
And I have a license through the state of Washington. And it's through the government.
Yeah.
And part of my job is serving people food and drinks. Quite regularly, I get insulted and I get bantered. You know what? That's a part of the job.
See,
you know what? It's a part of life.
I'm going to give an example. I could technically fine you for what you're talking about right now because you're insulting my intelligence. You're saying that your job somehow relates to mine. I don't know what the state of Washington does, and I don't care. I'm talking about what the FCC has laid down today.
Well, look at David.
Interpret what they say, and all of a sudden you're the cop out there with the ticket, threatening to write people tickets for insulting you. I mean, wake up, sir.
The Constitution doesn't guarantee you the right to say what you want on a radio station. It guarantees you free speech. For instance, I can't walk into your house and say what I want, can I?
I wouldn't let you into my
house. Of course. So you can't come on my radio station and say what you want.
It's a public airway.
No. I'm the licensee. You're not the licensee.
You put the telephone number out there. I call it.
You voluntarily called it.
You don't have to talk to me.
You're arguing with me. I can fine you for arguing with me. Because now you're being stupid. Now you're being stupid.
Why do you get to insult him, but he can't say anything to you and you're going to fine him?
What are you talking
exactly
about?
My point.
He's being an idiot. He says, first of all, hey, I serve drinks at Disneyland. That's nice. What's that got to do with me? Secondly, he says to me that it's the public airwaves. I license this portion of the public airwaves, so I get to do what I want to do on it.
So let me ask you, job as a...
You know, you've got a lot of questions, so you should listen to the answers.
You don't make any sense.
You really are. Rhetoric. You really are.
You won't.
Go ahead, Scott. I'm sorry.
Is your job as head of operations there to increase or decrease listenership?
My job is to increase revenue.
Okay, so you think you're going to increase revenue by, you think this is a good thing supporting the FCC?
Yes, because what it does is it cuts down on the level of stupid calls to the show. Now,
you won't get any. People just won't.
Well, that's true. If that's the case, what that means is the listing will get better because we don't have to listen to morons. Now, look, you have no right to be on the air, first of all. Second of all, if you are privileged to be on my airwaves, you got to follow the rules.
And but it's all coming off to sound as if people are not welcome to call the show, and if they are, they got to watch what they say. And
Phil, can I remind you what happened to this industry 3 months ago? Guys were losing their jobs. The FCC came down on us like a broom. And you're sitting there saying, well, why can't we do it the old way? We can't do it the old way, because guys like Scott are going to get you fired.
This man hasn't done anything to me. He's called
not
up with an opinion. He's called
up with... It's strictly opinion,
yeah.
And that's all that it is. And I can say anything. I can say Bush sucks, Kerry's great, and it's my opinion. It doesn't mean that anybody else in the world
agrees with you. Here's what I mean by that. What part of the country are you calling from?
I'm in Portland, Oregon.
I knew it. I knew you'd be against Bush, because all you guys up there, all you do is hump trees all day long.
You know
okay,
what?
All right, man. That's
the bitches down.
You know
and
what?
I eat
dude?
Them for lunch.
What's that?
I said I cut them down and eat them for lunch.
You guys hunch trees all day long up there. No one do you like, Kerry?
See, that's the kind of thing that you'd fine Scott for if he said that.
Yeah, that's right. But guess what? I'm on this side. He's on that side. And by the way, Phil, are you complaining?
Am I what?
Are you complaining?
Yeah, I'm. What I'm trying to say is
because I can find you too.
You know what?
You know something, man.
You should have done this on April 1st because this has got to be a farce. There's no way that
you keep dreaming.
Anybody's going to get on the air and stand up and say ridiculous things like this and threaten to find people. In fact,
I can tell you this much.
My number. You can send. I'll give you my address. You can send a lawsuit or a fine or whatever you want to me because I have not said anything on there.
You argued with me. You argued with me. You argued with me and you called me an a-hole.
No, he did not.
Yes, he
did.
Yes, you most certainly did.
No, he did not.
Don't
worry about it, Scott. I'll back you up.
Okay, well, so I'm going to find you, too. So I'm finding both of you, then.
Why, because I'm telling the truth?
Because you're not backing up your boss who's licensed by the federal government.
Oh, shut up.
Okay, that's a fine.
1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686, the triumph of intelligence over ignorance. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Don't forget, the Best of the Phil Hendry Show 2003 CD is available. The Death of Talk Radio and all the money goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood, California. And that's a great thing to contribute to. They appreciate it. Do great work. We'll be coming back to talk about Pat Tillman of the United States Army. He passed on in Afghanistan. He was killed in action yesterday. We'll talk about Pat Tillman and the whole idea of being a football hero. It's a Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. Now, Phil Hendry.
Former Arizona Cardinal defensive back Pat Tillman was killed in Afghanistan after walking away from that multimillion-dollar NFL contract to join the United States Army Rangers. This was reported by United States Army officials today. Tillman served with the Army Rangers. He was 27 years of age. He served in Afghanistan. Allegedly, he was killed along with two other U.S. soldiers as they were on combat patrol in Afghanistan. Pat Tillman was a guy that we talked about right after 9/11, and we talked about him at great length because one of the reasons why we dealt with that story in depth is that we're football fans around here, and I just happen to know the game from a fan's point of view and a fan's perception, but I also have perhaps a more sharply heightened view of the game and maybe a more sharply critical view of the game because I've been following it for so long and because I work in the media. And all of that means this. I don't have a whole lot of respect for professional athletes anyway. Anyone who's listened to this show for any length of time, you know that to be the case. I have my reasons, some personal and some professional, but I think they're all good. I don't think professional football players, if you put them all together, would amount to one brain the size of the average cashew. I don't think these guys are qualified to comment on whether or not it's raining outside. I think the only thing these guys know how to do is play the game, play it well, entertain me, and yes, you may have your billions and gazillions of dollars, but please, 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 keep your mouth shut off the field, because when you open it, then I get to say something about it. I get to say how dumb you are. I get to say what a degenerate you are. And I get to comment on your personal life beyond the football field that you say is only yours. Well, guess what? No, it ain't. But into the mix, we find this young man, Pat Tillman, 27 years of age. Pat Tillman walked away from his NFL career. He joined the Army Rangers, and he never gave an interview. He never got on the Jimmy Kimmel show. Never went on the Romy show. Never talked about what a hotshot he was, what a great man he was. Never basked in the glow. Pat Tillman judiciously avoided interviews because he didn't want to stand out above the rest of the men and women who were serving the United States in the armed forces. He was just like them, and he did not want anybody to think that he thought any differently than that. So he avoided the press. He and his brother both enlisted, and they went over to Afghanistan for a couple of reasons. Because that's the kind of guy he is. That's how he views himself in the context of this country. And because he also comes from a military family. He has a long line of fathers and grandfathers who served in the military. Now, this is what a man is. If you want to know what a man is, you can take a look at this man, Pat Tillman. Well, what are you saying, Phil? What do you mean, what a man is? You see, you can talk about how tough you are. You can play the game and pretend you're living in a tough man's world. In other words, a lot of us get away with just playing a game for a living. I do. This is a game. You don't think this is actually anything serious, do you? This is a talk show on the radio. This is about as much hot air as they push out on those big hot blowers on the Bears sideline up in Green Bay in early December. That's all I am, man. Open my mouth and you could heat the whole NFL. You could keep all of those sideline benches warm for three seasons running. That's about it. But here's a guy that put his life on the line for the things that he believed in. And when you say that, everybody kind of stares at you. The eyes glass over, the jaw kind of slacks, and they wonder where the phone is because they gotta make a call. They just don't get it. Maybe it's nothing to get. Maybe this guy lived in a world, that is so far removed from where the rest of us live, it's easy to make fun of. Because if you don't make fun of it, all you can do is sort of feel a little bit smaller. If you don't sort of look at a guy like Pat Tillman and say, well, you know, he's just, that's what those jocks do. Well, no, it ain't what those jocks do. No, there isn't a jock in the National Football League that had the balls that this guy had at the time that he had them 1 month after 9/11. Now, let's take a look at this country and professional athletes today. You know, during World War II, I'm sure you've all heard over and over and over again, the athletes that enlisted in the armed forces, the numbers were so high, they hardly had a Major League Baseball to play Major League Baseball. All those guys were in the armed forces. Football players, too. Our country was attacked on 9/11, and you would have thought, from the looks of things, that what happened was, you know, somebody tossed a hand grenade into a diner in Maine or something. In other words, it was just, it's nothing to get excited about. What are we getting all excited about? Why don't we do as our European friends do? Just coexist with the violence. That's really what they want us to do. That's what the frogs and the krauts and all them, you know, those wops and everybody else wants us to do. Oh, did I say wop? I think you can say frog and kraut in Canada, but you can't say wop. Excuse me, Canada. How about raghead? Oh, I can't do that? Okay. See, they want us to coexist with the violence. They want us to do as they do, which is a bomb goes off here, a train gets blown up there, and we just kind of press on with this horror in our midst, and we live with it, because to take it on means you have to sort of upset the apple cart a little bit. You really got to change your world. You got to rock your world just a little tiny bit. And we ain't ready to do that in America. There's a few of us that are. You know where they are? They're over in Iraq right now in Afghanistan. Those are the ones that are ready to do it. They're Marines. They're Army Rangers. You want to find the Americans who are, by the way, I'm not going to take this. You know, as a matter of fact, I think I will. Hey, Mike. Hey, Mike.
Yes.
You say that Pat Tillman was stupid, huh? Well, you know what? You're a coward. You're a freaking coward, okay? And you know what? San Francisco's the perfect place for you, you turd. There, that took care of that phone call. Anybody else from the Bay Area want to check in? Lock that guy's number, man. I'm fining him $10,000 for disrespecting me. Mr. Powell! So, if you want to know where the real people are in this world today, they're over in Iraq, they're over in Afghanistan, they're in harm's way, they're taking care of a job that the rest of us sit around and discuss ever so enjoyably over a latte from Starbucks, over one of those really, really overpriced lattes from Starbucks. Now, Tillman, after he went in, I listened to an interview with this guy, Simeon Rice, of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. No, I ain't forgot about you, Simeon. You know what, Simeon? You'd have to be reborn six times to have half the manhood of this guy. Simeon Rice of the Buccaneers said, well, you know, Tillman wasn't much of a ball player, and he didn't play on much of a team. See, in other words, Simeon Rice needed to degrade this guy because Rice, in his wildest dreams, couldn't muster the manhood it takes to crack a freaking beer. You know, it's funny. You can call these guys out, and they are such cowards. They just don't want to have nothing to do with it, other than the fact, you know, like a guy like Warren Sapp, who lost his mind on the field last year because, you know, we were calling him out on his show, and he didn't want to respond to it because it would be something, you know, he'd be responding to a man much smaller than him. What he did then is he just acted out on the field like he was a three-year-old, prancing and skipping around like he's Dick Van Dyke and Mary Poppins. And then this guy, Simeon Rice, making his wise cracks about Tillman when Rice, I mean, push comes to shove. If you asked him, you know, to probably that guy wouldn't pick a gun up to defend his own family. What do you think of that? He'd probably be busy chilling. So I wanted to express my sadness about the passing of Pat Tillman and my admiration for him from the context of, or in the context, I should say, of a football fan who appreciates the game and knows only too well the stuff those guys are made of that play that game. And brother, there ain't much more there than your average bag of cotton candy. But along comes a guy named Tillman, probably right when the NFL could have used a little manhood, and he put it on the line where it really counted for his country. So for that, I thank you and your family, Pat. And I am now an Arizona Cardinal fan, as well as an Atlanta Falcon fan, because of Jagosinski being there as their tight ends coach. And that's all I got to say about that. So there. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
By the way, we got a flashback on the show today from yesterday's show. What is it again, my good friend Benjamin? We have, who did we have on the show yesterday? Had a couple of people on the show. Clara Bingham, our middle school teacher, she was talking about how ball gags work effective in disciplining our young people. And Justin McElroy, the aspiring high school journalist, who said looking at those pictures of Princess Diana's dead body was actually really cool. So we are going to definitely roll that out on the show today. One other note about the United States military and its effort in Iraq. I hate to break the news to some of my good friends out there that think the U.S. military is a demoralized rabble that is crying into a cell phone for their mama. But according to the records of the Pentagon anyway, maybe they're making them all up, despite shrapnel wounds, despite a host of other injuries, halfway through the Army's fiscal year, 28,406 soldiers had signed on for yet another tour of duty. So soldiers are re-signing and going back in record numbers. These are guys we ought to be proud of. But this isn't a generation of Americans that's proud of much of anything other than, what, like the new vinyl, you know, the new vinyl wash they got for the roof of their car? What are they, proud of the new mag wheels on their Porsche SUV? I mean, what exactly are we proud of anymore? What do we celebrate? This is the biggest bunch of cynics. Look, leave the cynicism to the experts like me. Leave all that smart-ass stuff to guys like me. Here is Penny. Hi, Penny.
Hi.
Hi. Welcome to the Phil Hendry Show.
Thank you.
On this luscious Friday night.
Thank you. Well, nice to talk to you.
Thank you, ma'am. What can we do for you?
Yes, sir. You know, well, Mr. Tillman, you know, he sacrificed, and it's impressive. I just wanted to say that he has, his family is suffering tonight, I know. But what about all the other soldiers and their families? You know, they're suffering.
Well, we could name every one of them, but the reason why we're talking about Pat Tillman is that this guy is unique among the celebrities of America. He was a celebrity football player. He made seven figures a year. It's a unique story that someone who is ensconced in celebrity life, whether you're an actor, a football player, a singer, a musician, would chuck it all and do something so unhip as join the army and go fight for your country, which is considered to be one of the less noble and less chic things to do these days.
What about World War II? Let's see, there was Jimmy
okay. So
Stewart.
Why don't we just? I mean, let's talk about Abraham Lincoln. You know, he's got a bad headache.
Well, Jimmy Stewart. He
yeah, that's real nice, Penny. So see you later. Keep missing the point, folks, and I'll keep steering you back to it. Okay. Here's Tom on the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil.
Yeah.
Here's my point.
Yeah, what's your point?
I think that it's unfortunate.
Your point is you don't have a very good phone?
Iraq.
What's that?
I said it's unfortunate they're wasting American lives over in Iraq. Our foreign policy for the last 50 years has...
Well, what have you been doing about it, Tom, other than buying bad phones?
What's that?
What have you been doing about it other than complaining about it?
I've been speaking out against it.
Really, you've been speaking out, huh?
This war.
50 years? You've been blowing it, dude.
No. You don't understand. Our foreign policy, when the UN was set up, it was set up for territorial.
Did you know that Pat Tillman was proud of what he did? So what qualifies you to comment on his job? He was proud of what he did. So you're going to come along and tell him he wasted his life? I bet you he could teach you a thing or two. I bet you he could tell you about his life and its value. And I'm sure he knows far more about his own lifetime than you do.
Has wasted lives.
Well, Tom, he knows more about his life than you do, okay?
Set up to be in a free world,
yeah.
A world in which places would have the idea, they would have the choice of what government they could have, and then we turn around and send the CIA in and change.
We're a bunch of Nazis, man.
For our
this is the worst society in history. What is a bright guy like you doing living here? I mean, my God, this place is like.
I got freedom of choice.
This is the. You do? I thought this was a terrible government.
No. You realize that and make the change.
Wait a minute, I thought you had freedom of choice. The government gave you that. It's a thing called the charter of our government, the Constitution.
Right, Phil.
Yeah,
and we haven't lived by that ideal.
Oh, I thought you said you had freedom of choice. Sounds to me like we're living by it.
Live by that same ideal.
You know something, Tom? You got it so good. You got the luxury to complain about it.
Freedom of choice.
We're Nazis. That's why everybody in the world wants to come here. We're nothing but Nazis.
I didn't say we were Nazis.
Oh, no, you just said for the last 50 years we've ripped away everybody's freedom of choice.
We're making a mistake, and we can change it. That's the one good thing about this country.
That's the only good thing, too.
We can change it.
That's the only good thing, too, right?
Yeah, until we make the change.
Pretty much everything else sucks, right?
I didn't say everything else sucks, Bill.
You know, guys like you are really amusing because you... Dude, you got no... I got to. You got nothing coming out of your brain. I have to stick words in your mouth.
Please,
otherwise, it's going to be one long...
Tell me about
it's going to be a very drafty evening listening to the cold air blowing out of you. Huh?
Hey, Phil, tell me about the Atlantic Charter.
The Atlantic Charter?
Yeah.
Well, that's a minor league. Yeah. I think Providence plays there. 1-800-449-8686. Tell me about the Atlantic Charter. What, are you sitting around the library all day long, man, looking up the Federalist Papers? I think you're looking up more than those. I think you're looking up somebody's skirt. I think you're looking up all those one-legged ladies' skirts, too. You know, don't you just love this country? This is a great place. I have never seen anything like it. If the one thing we ought to wean ourselves away from is just occasionally, it's not bad to say something nice about your country, and it's actually not unhip to fight for it. And Gary Trudeau today, hey, Gary, what are you doing, man? Are you just must be in one of the greatest places right now, rubbing your wife's pregnant belly with glee as you see all those dead bodies coming home from Iraq, because it helps sort of ennoble your cartoon strips lately, right? The one-legged guy, the surgeon, huh? You know all about those suffering guys over there. Why don't you go ask one or two of them, huh, Gary? No. I mean the guys that are actually proud of fighting there, like the overwhelming majority of them. I'm not talking about one of your neighbors that came home embittered because he didn't know he'd have to go off to fight. He thought he was going to learn how to repair lawnmowers in the Army, and they said, well, here's a gun. Maybe you want to learn how to shoot it. And the guy thought, well, that's no good. I think I'll be a CO and read Gary Trudeau. Did you see the guy publishing the pictures of all the coffins? Do you see Gary Trudeau? Do you understand, folks, that that cat that published the pictures of the coffins is having the best time of his life? The more dead Americans, the better it is for the people that oppose this war, because they love to see those dead bodies coming home, man. It makes them look like they're right. Gary can't stand it, so he's got a column in there about a guy losing his leg. You know, there's guys fighting over there, Gary, that are actually enduring the injuries, enduring the hardship because they believe in what they're doing. But to Gary, if you get injured, if you lose a leg, if you get harmed in any way, shape, or form, then you must come home because it's an evil war. And if you get a splinter up your rear end, like maybe you do occasionally, Gary, when you don't move off of the bench, you know, long enough, I mean, just get up and get yourself a cup of coffee, okay? You've been sitting on your ass for so long doing that cartoon strip, you probably got splinters everywhere. Why don't you quit doing the strip, man? I think you got a splinter in your ass last week. You keep publishing those pictures of those men in those coffins, you dummy, because some of those were pictures of coffins of the people who died at the Challenger blast. You ready for that? That's how stupid that guy was. He thought he was showing pictures of dead soldiers from Iraq. Some of them were like people who were killed in the Challenger blast. Others were people who, like, maybe died on an airbase somewhere. He got them from a Freedom of Information Act, so he assumes every coffin that he sees, they have to be coming home from Iraq. So dummy is, you know, dumb is as dumb does. But who cares, man? It's a red-letter day for the people that oppose this war. Every time you see a coffin containing a great American with a flag draped over it, even though he was proud of the job that he was doing and believed in what he was doing, he is now being used by those individuals who would disgrace him and say that what he did was futile. Now he's being used. He can't do anything about it. He's kind of, you know, tied up at the moment, if you will. Nice going. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
No kidding. I'm really, you know, I grew up in an age when the sort of the satirist, they were the biggest influence in my life. I was influenced by some of the great satiric comic minds of at least my generation. Credibility Gap, Fire Sign Theater, Lenny Bruce, Mort Saul. I mean, I could go on and on with the guys that influenced me in terms of their point of view that it was original, it was funny. I don't know if anybody remembers David Fry. He was an impressionist. He did an album about Watergate. He played the parts of Richard Nixon, Rod Steiger. He did all of these great parts. All of the guys, all of my heroes were these great satirical minds who had a real point of view that was countercultural and anti-establishment. So I've seen it. I've lived it. I've heard it all. And when some tired act like Gary Trudeau, and when I say tired act, this guy's comic strip, is it supposed to be funny, or am I supposed to just get so moved that I lose control of my bowels? What am I supposed to do? Wear a diaper when I read his strip because it's just so profound? when some stale act like Gary Trudeau comes along and tries to provoke people by using the wounded American serviceman to his end, a man who is proud of what he does. This ain't Vietnam, Gary. There were a lot of confused guys coming back from Vietnam, and rightfully so. You want it to be Vietnam. There are so many people that want this to be Vietnam. I mean, you feel sorry for them. You want to go get them a nice hot cup of tea and put a comforter around their shoulders because they're just quivering with anticipation that this becomes the next horrific quagmire that maybe another 50,000 guys can get wasted in. Wouldn't that be just wonderful for that guy who's in the coffin picture business? Well, it ain't Vietnam, Gary. Your time has passed, baby, because you're using injured soldiers to your end, which is to say, I know how to speak for them, and they're really ashamed of what they're doing, and they're sad for what they're doing, and they're upset about what they're doing, and I will speak for them. Me, Gary Trudeau, all, 6'1", drink of water of me, with my sort of, shop-worn, tarnished act, I'm going to talk about the suffering American servicemen. I got a news flash there for you, Gare Baby. These guys are proud of what they're doing. They're doing one hell of a great job. And despite the wishes of American reporters who would love nothing more than to see more of them die so that they can get some good, video on it, they're actually pacifying large sections of that country, rebuilding large sections of that country, and it's driving people crazy because they want them to fail. Too bad. Too bad it isn't going to happen. And not only you, Trudeau, but that guy that's in the coffin business and everybody else that proposes that what's happening in Iraq is one of the greatest disasters in the history of America. It's not a disaster at all. You want it to be because you still got, a lot of you guys are just too freaking old for this war. Forget about Vietnam. Why don't you guys just put on a cardigan sweater, wander out back and commit suicide? All you old left-leaning cats, man, I grew up with all of you guys. I used to agree with a lot of you guys. I still do in a lot of ways. But, your act is like so soured. Why don't you just slip on that cardigan sweater, carry the dachshund with you, go out back, stand under an oak tree, and blow your brains out. Do the world a favor. Gee, that was kind of violent, wasn't it? Well, I like violence. At times. 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. It's the Phil Hendry Show. We started the hour talking about Pat Tillman, and I figure you guys have heard enough about Pat Tillman today. I mean, everybody's been talking about Pat Tillman, and the lady had a good point. She says, why him and not the families of the other people? It's because Pat Tillman is an incredibly unique personality. He's a celebrity from the world of entertainment who decided to put his country before his own life. Do you realize that that's considered stupid by many people? I mean, in the modern age, in the 21st century, in the ultra-hip, ultra-chic, and ultra-now world that we live in, putting your country before your own life? Are you kidding? I mean, what's that about? I mean, I got things I want to do, places I want to go. I mean, who do you love more than yourself, right? Nobody, exactly. Here's a guy, it's Pat Tillman, said, I'm going to go and I'm going to do for my country. And he was a celebrity from the world of entertainment. And when I say the world of entertainment, I make no distinction between football and stand-up comedy. In other words, they're both noble enterprises, but they both achieve or endeavor to achieve the same thing, entertaining an audience. That's all that football is an entertainment business. Pat Tillman was an entertainer. Him enlisting to go to Afghanistan as an Army Ranger is the same, as far as I'm concerned, it's the same as Chris Rock enlisting to go to Afghanistan to be an Army Ranger. Could you imagine that? Could you, in your wildest dreams, imagine, like, for instance, what if Rosie O'Donnell enlisted in the United States Army Transport Corps, and the next time we heard about her, she was, like, driving a truck like a bat out of hell down some ravine in Iraq. And like holding him off with a machine gun. She just says, my career is secondary to what's important. My country is more than important, and that is why I am enlisting in the United States Army, and you can take my career and you can flush it right down the john. So said Jessica Simpson today when she enlisted in the United States Marine Corps. Man, that's the same thing. It's nuts. Everybody's laughing. Well, that's what this cat did. You know? Now, how many people do that? Nobody does that. Nobody cares about their country. All we do about our country, man, all we can do is we bitch and bellyache until you can't stand listening to it any longer about what's wrong with it. Hey, ain't got a good enough president. We don't have a good enough Congress. The taxes are too high. The roads ain't good. The schools ain't good. The violence is out of control. It's all one guy's fault. It's not my fault at all. I'm not going to vote. Why should I vote? It doesn't do any good. And I don't feel guilty about it. And another thing, I want more money in my paycheck. And another thing, how come the gasoline's so expensive? And another thing, can you believe the price of postage stamp is going up again? Oh, my God. And another thing, all the food's really unhealthy. And the TV shows suck. And the news, it's all biased. It's all conservative. No, it isn't. It's all liberal. No, it isn't. It's all conservative. No, it isn't. It's all liberal. No, it isn't. It's all conservative. And here's another thing, too, man. I can't go on vacation, and it's my right to be on the radio so I can say anything I want. And how come you're taking Bubba the Love Sponge off, and I really love the show? What happened to Opie and Anthony? And how come I'm growing a tail? Our email address is phs@philhenryshow.com if you have answers to any of these questions. And hold on for a minute. What?
What are you doing now?
What do you mean, what am I doing?
You're trying to say smart stuff.
Yes, sir, I am.
I told you the FCC has handed down guidelines not to be intelligent. Are you trying to get me fined again? Do you know that we're looking at $2 million in fines this company?
I was trying to make a...
You were trying to make some intelligent point. Now talk stupid like the rest of these guys. What are you trying to do? They're dusting the hot seat off for me.
Dude, I am really sorry, man.
You come on the air talking some intelligent stuff. Take some phone calls. Rap about how many hot dog buns are in a hot dog wrapper as opposed to how many hot dogs are in a wrapper. Do some Glenn Beck material instead of him ripping you off. Anything. Just quit talking. You talk stupid or Dickman's taking over the show.
Yeah, I'm going to take over the show. Savvy?
What do you mean, savvy?
That's right. Capiche?
Capiche?
I'm not going to talk stupid. I'm going to...
All right, Dickman. I want you taking over after this break. This is the Phil Henry...
No, I want to do it.
No, I'm doing a break. Get out of here. You're listening to the Phil Henry Show. The number is 1-8... I forget what it is. This is the Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
On our show last night, Justin McElroy is an aspiring journalist, a high school senior at Canyon High School in Los Angeles, and he thought the pictures that CBS showed of the mangled body of Princess Diana were really cool looking. One of our callers, Patty, said that his account of Diana's death was false. Actually, none of those pictures that he described were on the CBS broadcast. Justin was saying she's a liar. In fact, he screamed that old people lie all the time.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Young man, I consider you very ignorant on an intelligent show.
Whatever.
Because last night, not whatever, you can answer a question, and God help us if you're a journalist student.
Well, Princess Diana.
Just listen.
When you saw her guts all out and stuff.
The lady finish.
It's good to hear, and you know, the wise old bird sat up in the old oak tree. Mm. The more he spoke, the less he heard.
Oh, that's really
interesting. The less he heard, the more he spoke.
Oh, okay, thanks, Grandma.
So be careful. Yes, I'm proud to be a grandma. The young doctor, in case you watched TV last night, said that examined the princess. There was nothing wrong with her face. Nothing had been disturbed on her face. So
I didn't say her face. I said her head was... The back of her head was all busted open and stuff.
You are inaccurate, and God
help us if
you're a journalist.
You know what? Then you didn't even see it.
Young man,
you know what? You were watching West Wing.
You know what?
You were watching West Wing.
It's easy for you to use words, but you can't confuse the general public. They're knowledgeable.
Well, let me ask you, Patty. This is Phil Henry. I didn't see this. Now, he's saying that her head was busted open.
No, it wasn't.
Well, no, you said her face. See, she's lying.
Phil Henry, according to the head... You know, it's
I hate old people because they lie worse than anybody.
Will you please have some respect, man?
Our country if go ahead. People are educated
go ahead, Patty. Tell me.
I hate her so much.
Bill,
go ahead.
The doctor who examined her, the French man on TV last night, said that nothing had been hurt to her face or her head.
Was there a steering wheel coming out of her chest?
Yes, there was.
They did not show that. They did it with good faith. And well,
oh my God!
You know, it's easy for you to yell and scream.
Yeah, but you're just like the grandmothers. No wonder people kill grandmothers and stuff.
What is that supposed to mean?
People who scream are 99% wrong. So don't scream. Don't get excited.
Oh,
you've got a long life ahead of you.
I'm going to really calm down. I really want to calm down and say,
you
know what? You shouldn't lie because you're pretty close to death. And God will put you in hell.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy Gold.
Justin McElroy, he's our newest favorite little turd. Speaking of turds, how many of you turds playing in the NFL are going to you know, follow the example of Pat Tillman and join the United States military, huh? We got any? You're free to call our show tonight at 1-800-449-8686. We will take your enlistment here. Any of you walking turds that play in the NFL that actually want to do something for a living, call our show, enlist. 1-800-449-8686. We'll take the enlistment of any one of you guys that plays football. Also, you guys in the NBA, some of you walking butt logs, you guys might want to consider a career in the United States military, maybe something you can actually do that will contribute to humanity and mankind in general, instead of dribbling that ball and wearing those ridiculous clothes that you cats wear, and I'm talking about you white boys too, so don't even go down that racial road with me. Don't go down that racial road with me when you got an engineer like I got, Chris Pelton. This guy dresses like the Prince of Freaking Darkness. By the way, Chris is in our new Fox pilot. And I want to say at this point in time that how proud I am to be associated with Fox, because I just read in the paper today that they're the only network that's got the cojones to actually consider signing a deal with the distributors of the Passions of the Christ. Like, they may show that on Fox. And I'm thinking, well, that's a no-brainer. All the other guys don't want to do it. CBS doesn't mind showing Daniel Pearl's head busted open. CBS don't mind showing Princess Diana's guts all over the street. But by God, they ain't going to show Jesus getting his ass kicked, are they? I guess you got to draw the line somewhere, and that's not a bad line to draw it at. But the point of fact is, we're very proud to be associated with Fox with our animated pilot. We do hope it gets on the air, but even if it doesn't, we're very proud that Fox is going to air The Passions of the Christ. Although, if our pilot doesn't get on the air as a series, we might take that back. 1-800-449-8686. Here's an interesting story, and this is exactly what I'm talking about when I'm saying the breath we're wasting on the insignificant issues sometimes can be saved if we would just all take a cue from your pal Phil here, and let's just not sweat the small stuff, okay? Like, check this out. John Kerry was asked, do you own an SUV? Because he was talking about fuel economy standards and all of this nonsense. And so a reporter, a very sharp reporter, said, do you own an SUV? And he said, no, I don't. Because Kerry is not prone to speak the truth right away. But then he backpedaled because he realized somebody was bound to look it up. And he said, actually, my family has an SUV. I don't. Get whatever that means, baby. But that's not a big thing with me. Just because the guy owns an SUV doesn't mean he's not committed to good fuels, you know, to good fuel standards. And my family has an SUV doesn't mean I'm not committed to it. We're all stuck with SUVs. I'm not getting hung up on that because John Kerry's wife's got an SUV. I don't care. I got an SUV. Just about every family I know's got an SUV. As a matter of fact, it's against the law to have more than two kids and not have an SUV. You could be cited. You could be brought up on charges. You could be fined by the FCC. The fact is, if Bush had said he's committed to fuel standards and then somebody found out that he had an SUV, they'd be on him like white on rice, man. They'd be on him like maggots on bad meat. That's the truth. But that's not necessary. And I don't think anybody should be climbing all over Kerry on this thing. We just need better fuel economy, baby. That's all we need, and that's what we got to get out of Detroit, or something's got to give, man. Somebody's got to get fired. Now, as you know, this radio show has committed itself to try to carry the message of the hybrid to you. What is a hybrid? Well, it can be a lot of things. A lot of people think it's Mr. Spock. No, that's a half-breed. A lot of people think it's LaToya Jackson. No, that's a half-breed. I'm joking. No, a hybrid is a car that runs on both fossil fuels and on electricity. The hybrid has batteries and it has a fuel tank. And when the gasoline is running low, the electricity takes over. And the electricity is running low, the gasoline takes over. And each sort of, actually, the electricity in some of the hybrids is regenerated by using the brake. But the goal is to start using less gasoline. Why? Because if we use less gasoline, we import less oil. Why is that good? Because that means we import less oil from the Middle East. And why is that good, Phil? Because if we are less reliant upon the Middle East for our oil and our energy and basically our lifeblood, then we don't have to do what they tell us to do all of the time like we usually do. And we don't have to get involved in their politics. And why is that good, Phil? Because that way we won't have guys flying airplanes into buildings and we won't have to hear any more stories about poor Pat Tillman and guys like him. And why is that good, Phil? Because that means we can be free of the Middle East once and for all and all of that goat smell, and we can come back here to good old America and start concentrating on, you know, making something of ourselves instead of the world-traveling bourgeoisie that we've become. Instead of the couch potato, world-traveling dandies that we am. We can, like, butch up, I think is the term I'm looking for. And why is that good, Phil? I don't know. Something to do. 1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show may continue after this, and it may not. Depends on how I'm feeling.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, guess who doesn't like black rap videos? Black women. How about that? Black rap videos. I guess they're called black rap videos because the guys rapping in them are black. And they are primarily aimed at, I guess, black folks. But, of course, they're not. I mean, everybody listens to rap. I mean, I say everybody. Everybody racially under a certain age, whether they're white or brown, or red, or black, and I hope I'm not leaving anybody out, gray, aboriginal, they listen to rap. However, African-American women, at least a few, at an Eastern College for Women, Spelman, it's in Atlanta, actually, down south, they're actually upset with the image of African-American women being used as, credit card slide strips, using their rear ends to slide credit cards through. Get it? One of the guys that does that is Nelly. Nelly is a famous... Is he a rapper or is he just some poser? I don't know the difference, really, between serious artists and Top 40. We were talking, as the show is beginning, about the differences, for instance, between a Christina Aguilera and a who was here last night. Christina Aguilera was downstairs. She was recording an interview for one of our radio stations, and I'm a huge fan of hers for a lot of reasons, but mostly because she's hot, but also because she's talented. She writes, she produces, she's a musician, and she's beautiful. She is drop-dead gorgeous. I think she makes Britney Spears look like a victim of fetal alcohol syndrome myself. And I say that with all due respect to my friends who have that, like Chris and Ben. And I also believe that she makes, who's the other one? Jessica Simpson. What is that Jessica Simpson about anyway? Is she a hybrid? She's the new hybrid. She's a Britney Madonna hybrid. You know, one half of her is gas, and the other half of her is, you know, kind of exciting. It's electric, but if you dig too deep, there's just a whole lot of gas, and it ain't smelling too good. It's pop music. It's cool. Everything's good, you know. Kids like it. But the point being, there are some artists, occasionally, people who endeavor to do great things. And I it happens in rap music as well. I've been far afield of it for many years, but I was a fan of NWA. I was a fan of Public Enemy. I was a fan of Ice-T. I used to say, why did he misspell his name? Isn't it Iced-T? I got a whole hour and a half out of that when I was down in Atlanta. Hey, how come Ice-T spells his name? It's supposed to be I-C-E-D-T-E-A. No, you idiot. It's not Iced-T. It's Iced... forget it. But now African-American women are finally speaking out and saying, you know what, I get all the racial empowerment stuff, and I understand that we need to back our men up and all the other things that we need to do to make you guys feel like you're real he-men, but could you stop treating us as if we are, well, for instance, could you stop treating us the way white men have treated us for so many years? That'd be a nice start. Never before, many of these women are saying, have the portrayals of black women have been so hypersexual and explicit. It's harsh. This is something we have to see and listen to on a daily basis. Nelly just didn't want to come here and face the criticism for the choices he made. He apparently was scheduled to be at Spelman, and he decided that he would sit a spell. He didn't want to go down there and have all those chicks, those very angry and pointed black women. Because if there's one thing that an African-American man is afraid of, that's the African-American woman. As a matter of fact, if there's one thing a white man's afraid of, that's the African-American woman. If there's one thing white women are afraid of, that's the African-American woman. How can we perceive them to be the lowest individual on the social ladder when, in point of fact, they're probably the strongest of all of us? I think black women kick ass. I know, I owned a few. I'm kidding. They own me. Bye, Phil. Nice career, man. Really, it was really great. You know, even if I say I'm kidding, though, here comes the, what is it called? The Canadian Regulatory Board for saying really funny things that we don't think should be said. I almost got bounced off the air up there because basically our show's too funny for Canada. So, good for you gals is all I can say. I mean, anytime, yeah, look, I got no problem with music, but I really got to say just a little tiny itsy-bitsy thing, and maybe I'm missing the whole point, you know. But the idea, I think, while to be expressive is also to kind of address a social situation, maybe, and just talking about women as hoes and your hoe bag and she's just a slut and all them bitches and this and that. It's like, hi, I'm with the Ku Klux Klan. Could you guys write a song that would make you sound like the stereotype that I think you are? Sure, we're rappers. Oh, perfect. Hi, I'm with the White Aryan Resistance. Would you guys come out with something that would be stereotypically so completely in line with the image that we're trying to portray you as? I know. How about something, some rap music where you treat your women like they're, you know, meat sacks? I don't care. You can think what you want. This is exactly the way I express myself. And all you white people, you can just take it and you can pound it. And I dig all that bling bling. I like having a big car, and I want to drive my Rolls Royce to the Jack in the Box to show all my homies that I ain't changed much. No, not much you ain't. Drive your freaking Rolls to the Jack in the Box. That's one I'll never forget. Next thing you know, the guy's going to be taking his jacket. He's going to be taking his Rolls Royce down to the, he's probably going to take it down to Jiffy Lube and get the oil changed on it. Yeah, I haven't changed at all, man. I still don't know anything about cars. Yeah, I can afford big ones, but got that big Rolls Royce. I think I'll take it on down there to Jiffy Lube, man, have the tires rotated and just talk to all my homies. You folks, you know what? You're not, here's the thing. Guy says, how come, like in the first hour, how come every black person votes Democrat? Well, no, they don't. A lot of black folks that vote Republican. They do is they say, well, go on down to Watts. You'll find everybody down there voting for Kerry. Well, what you got down in Watts isn't so much a lot of black people. You got a lot of poor people. Or you have a lot of struggling people. Or you have a certain socioeconomic kind of a person. And it may be that most black people are in that situation, so they vote for freaking Kerry, right? But the fact of the matter is, it was still a pretty good joke. How come Cool Cigarettes doesn't come out with a little slip that says, vote Kerry? How do you feel if you're black and you're expected to vote Democrat? Hi, I'm a black man, and, well, did you get the pamphlet? No, I did not. Well, here it is. Here, vote Kerry. Just go over there and vote for Kerry. Now get going. Talk about being taken for a ride. Talk about being stereotyped. This is the party that's always helped you, no matter what. I'm a Democrat. I always have to say that once a show because, A, it really makes some people angry, and I love that, and, B, that's exactly what I am, a Democrat. A Democrat who thinks for himself. A Democrat who, oh, I don't know, I guess I'm just an American hero, ain't I? No, I'm a guy that I just don't, I don't think, see, I'm like a lot of black folks, man. Don't take me for granted. Don't think just because I call myself a Democrat that any clown you throw up there that happens to stick on the wall after the spaghetti's done is the guy that I'm going to vote for. Guy you got going this year, man, forget it. So anyway, Nelly has shined on Spellman because he's afraid he's going to get his ass kicked by all those angry African-American women there because they say that his rap videos are just misogynistic. Misogynist is the word, but most people think that's, you know, a place where you go to get your back cracked. Ain't he the guy that had all those dirty pictures? Who's the guy with the dirty pictures?
I believe that's R. Kelly.
R. Kelly. I think you might want to change your name there, Nelly, for a lot of reasons. A, you sound like a girl. I think that's the name of a chick, if I'm not mistaken, Nelly. And B, a lot of people make the same mistake I just made. What do you care about going down and singing for a bunch of women when you got all those preschoolers you could go and entertain? So what the, Nelly wears a headband. Oh, he wears a Band-Aid on his face. That's his identifying mark. Okay. And what does R. Kelly wear on his face? Little girl's underwear? 1-800-449-8686. World famous Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. On the peripheral edge of reality. The Phil Henry Show is back.
You know, we like soldiers. We just don't know what to do with them, do we? Like, for instance, Denzel Washington, he's got a new movie, Man on Fire. Yeah, he's out for revenge, old Denzel is. Remember Training Day? How could you not like Training Day, even though that's a movie that basically craps all over cops? It makes them look like they're the most crooked bastards the world has ever known, and I happen to know that there's people far more crooked than cops, okay? I've worked for several of them in this very business. They're called program directors. Now, you know, look, this guy, Washington, has now, he's hitting his stride. He's playing a badass. This is what, forget about that courage under fire where he's the sensitive investigating officer. And by the way, I saw it on TV the other day. What's up with that Lou Diamond Phillips driving that car into the train? I laughed my ass off. Sometimes a movie just goes a little too far, and I don't mean in terms of the violence having a negative effect. I mean in terms of the violence making me bust a gut. Look, who could not laugh as he watched the train go by him with the flaming car in front of it? Was that a beautiful, it was a beautiful comic moment. I suggest you exit the vehicle, sir. Then he drives right into the train, swigging off that bottle of Johnny Walker B. A hits the train, and Washington sort of winces as he sees this explosion, and then the train rolls by with the flaming wreck in front of it, just as a sort of a, like an outtake, and you can see Lou Diamond Phillips clearly waving from the flaming body, just, hi! And what's that cat in the engine compartment? What's he thinking? I don't know, I'm just gonna keep on going, screw it. You know, I mean, the guy's in front, well, you got a flaming car here, what do you want me to do? I got this entire load here of Mercedes, has gotta get over here. We're getting it to the port, man, a lot of people, you know, they're buying it overseas now. Well, aren't you gonna stop and let them, no, it's okay, it's not holding me up. So he's in that movie, but now he's hit his stride with that Training Day where he plays that evil bastard. That cop who, at the very end of the film, is calling out all those gangbangers in one of the most crime-ridden holes of the city as he screams the words, King Kong ain't got crap on me. Now he's in a movie where he plays, you got it, an ex-Marine who's good at killing. And he's a bodyguard, but he's also an alcoholic. He's also a tortured soul. How about a soldier who is, like, well-adjusted? Can't we have a guy like that? How about a guy that comes back from the war, blew up a bunch of Iraqis, shot a few ragheads, and comes back and he's, okay, let's hit it. Come on. Anybody for anybody want to do some beers? How about a barbecue? No, we ain't got that. See, soldiers, man, we know better, don't we? Oh, those of us who've never been in combat, those of us who would wet all of our diapers at once at the very thought of being in combat, we know better. We know that they really hate it. We know that they're really guilty. We know that they're really they're suffering. We know that they, when they're injured, it's just the angst is just too much for them. Their families are disappointed. Their neighborhood's disappointed. People are suddenly coming to grips with the horror of war, and that they just can't bring themselves any longer to live this phony life, and that they must now bring themselves to protest the evil of man's inhumanity to man, and on we go, generation after generation, and nobody ain't changing diddly squat. We don't hate violence. We love the hell out of it. We're afraid of violence. Remember that. Remember the key difference between hatred and fear. American society does not hate violence. We are afraid of it. We do not engage it. And when we do, we are in a movie theater watching it in single dimension. Because if we actually knew it and we embraced it, then maybe we wouldn't be so frightened to, you know, serve our country the way a Pat Tillman did. Instead of living vicariously, thinking that we're Denzel Washington, man on fire. I used to think this guy was a good actor, and I still think he's a tremendous actor, but hey, I ain't going to fault a guy for making a living. But I got to tell you something right now, man. Forget you, Denzel. I'm going to go watch Jennifer Garner in 13 Going on 30. Now, that's what I call a 25 to 54-year-old man movie. Huh? Anyway, remember, it ain't about hating violence. This country's never hated violence. There's no country in the history of man that has hated violence, and nobody is abhorring violence, and nobody is abhorring war, and nobody is saying we need to get rid of war. We haven't come to terms with it. We haven't come to grips with it. We are frightened of it. Every generation is frightened of it because they've never experienced it. And the way to hide your fear is to say that you're morally opposed to it. Nobody wants to be a coward. Everyone wants to be a conscientious objector. If you're afraid, you're afraid. Nothing wrong with being afraid. There isn't anybody in this country that isn't angry seeing photographs of Americans set fire to and dragged through the streets of Fallujah. There isn't a human being that wasn't angry at that image, but they're ashamed of themselves for being angry at that image because that kind of goes against their anti-war stance, right? That they are morally opposed to war. What they are, in point of fact, frightened of is the very idea of violence itself. They're angry at what happened to those people, but to express anger at the Iraqis is to go against their accepted viewpoint of war, especially the Iraq war being evil. Well, why don't you just come right out and stand there like men and women and say it? You're scared to death. You're dropping poo soup in your pants as you're thinking about the very idea of it. Hold on for a minute. Yeah?
What do you mean poo soup? What is that?
Look, don't play it back to me, man.
I'm just trying to figure out. I got an FCC license to protect. What's poo soup?
I'll talk to you later, okay?
Bring those good cigars.
Yeah, I got them. So like I was saying last hour about this guy Trudeau and his Doonesbury comic strip, or the guy that's taking the pictures of the coffins and publishing them on his website, these people, you know, the only way they can stand in front of a mirror in the morning and look themselves in the eye is to convince themselves that they've got a moral opposition to war, when in point of fact, what they have is a bloody fear of it. So like a guy like Doonesbury, who doesn't know what's in the mind of a soldier, especially a brave soldier who may like the job he's doing, he puts into that man's mouth the words that he wants him to speak. I hate this war. I don't want to serve in this war. Because Gary Trudeau's a gutless wonder, just like that guy with the coffins. And more to the point, as I said, you can't kill enough Americans for guys like Trudeau because it keeps proving his point. So the more the merrier, baby. The more body bags, the more coffins, the more holes in the ground that we can throw young Americans, the more Gary Trudeau skips with glee through his New England estate. As he prances about the yard with one of his 18 kids. 1-800-449-8686. Is this Maui?
Yeah.
Like the island?
Excuse me?
Like the Hawaiian island?
No, it's Maui. It's an Aztec name. Hey, how come you always call rags, what do you call, ragheads?
No, No, I don't call all Arabs ragheads. I'm calling the Iraqis we're fighting ragheads.
Well, why do you call them ragheads?
Because that's just the accepted disparaging term for the enemy.
I think that's
like we used to call Vietnamese gooks. Yeah, well, that's because you don't think about things now. You just react.
I'm not reacting. That's like...
No, you don't. You didn't think about it. You're not even listening to my answer right now. You already got your preset speech that you want to make. You're not listening to my... I'm not... It's not racial against Arabs. It is a comment about the enemy. It is what we call the enemy. Raghead.
It's wrong, man.
No, it ain't, man, because the Iraqi enemy, those scumbags over there, they should all die.
Stereotyping the resistance.
Ain't a resistance. They're a bunch of Iranians and Syrians that are that are co-opting the Iraqi democracy movement, dude. Why don't you get a clue? Resistance. Hey. Resistance against what, man? Against living with a flushing toilet?
Against American occupation.
Yeah, America. It's so horrible. You got your ass planted here, don't you?
Viva Palestine.
You're what? You're in labor.
Viva Palestine.
Hey, Nawi.
Yeah.
Your mama. Nawi. Dude, whoever... You know what, man? You ought to hate your mama for giving you that name. 1-800-449-8686. Was that cat laying some Islam on me there with that...
He said the Assalamu Alaikum thing.
Yeah, he was like, you know, God is great, which is cool, you know? But you're about as Muslim as I am, Nawi. What's your last name, Wowie? First name's Maui, his last name's Wowie. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Pat Tillman, by the way, he didn't play long in the NFL. He played four seasons. He played 12 games in the 2001 season. That was, of course, the season that commenced immediately, or actually just at the beginning. It commenced prior to 9/11, is what I'm trying to say. He played 12 seasons and then just said, you know what, forget this. Joined the Rangers, and that is history. But he was in the NFL for... three seasons prior to that, had modest stats, but I'll tell you what, the Cardinals struggled during those years, and Pat Tillman was one of its shining stars, one of the Arizona Cardinals' shining stars. 1-800-449-8686, and the other thing I'd like to thank Pat Tillman for posthumously was playing football and then, you know, tending to his business at home and not running his mouth like the rest of the world. The rest of the National Football League world on all matters concerning politics, guns, women, and how funny and interesting and charming and personable they all are. And, oh, yeah, all the while, like, waving some of those guns out of the windows of cars. And what's the latest? You know, there's been a lot of drunk driving arrests in the NFL lately, and I haven't really been, not drunk driving so much as drug busts, and I haven't really been focusing on those because... It seems natural that a young guy is going to drink and go nuts. Just to say that only NFL players are doing that is crazy, okay? You know, younger men are going to drink and they're going to drive and they're going to be stupid whether they're football players or not. What I'm talking about are crimes of violence and crimes of non-support of children and stupid things they say in the newspapers that just make me want to go out and strangle my cat. Because I know I can't really get all of my fingers around Simeon Rice's neck. Stuff like that. Andy, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hey, Phil. Well, I'm not funny and articulate like you, but I heard you say earlier that people are opposing the war and they try to do it on some moral level because they're actually afraid.
Well, my general statement was that America has... constantly try to make itself feel better by saying it is against violence. America fears violence. There's a big difference. If we were against violence, we wouldn't watch the films we watch or involve ourselves in the entertainment we involve ourselves in. We fear violence.
Well, I agree that may be happening on some level with some people, but personally, I would have, right after 9/11, I would have gladly joined up and gone and fought in Afghanistan. But personally, I think Iraq...
But what, you got flat feet or something?
No, I got hit by an 18-wheeler and my pelvis got cracked in half, so...
Well, so what's stopping you?
So I'm disabled.
Oh, are you in a wheelchair?
No. I have just bad legs and...
Did you take the physical?
No. There's no way I would pass.
How do you know?
Because I can't even walk properly.
Oh.
But the point is...
You sure?
Hello?
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Well, have you had anybody stand back and watch you walk and have them comment on it?
Yeah.
You say, how do I look? And then you walk and they go, nah, they don't look too good.
Right.
Okay.
I limp.
All right, go ahead.
But I think this war in Iraq is not, you know, I'm on the fence as far as the war in Iraq. It could turn out, I mean, we're dealing with far,
I mean, you'll be in
future,
favor of it if we win it, and you'll be against it if we lose it.
Far into the future, if we actually succeed in creating some kind of America-friendly, you know, country where human rights are respected, then, you know, George Bush will be proven right. But right now, I don't see that happening. What I see happening is I see another maniac, just like Saddam, taking over, and the only way to keep these animals under control is to have a person like Saddam in there who's ready to...
All right, well, thanks for your call, Andy. You sure you can't carry a gun, huh? Here is Jonathan. Jonathan?
Yeah.
How you doing, man?
I'm doing good.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah.
What up?
Oh, I just wanted to comment on the Nelly bit you had before.
Yeah?
Yeah, and I just wanted to say, you know, I know it's true, you know, how you say that, you know, that a lot of this music is degrading to black women. But I think we should also think about, you know, the black women are in the videos, you know, degrading themselves, you know?
Those are the ones that I want.
Yeah, you know, they said, I mean, I'm not saying that, you know...
Hey, you know what? I don't know the answer. I'm just saying, I'm not even saying that's what he does. I'm saying that there are some women, it's unique for me to hear black women say, you know what, we don't like these images. I haven't heard this before. I've never heard it. I've never heard black women say, we are getting a little tired of being... portrayed this way. You know, I recognize that there is we got a legitimate right to sexual erotic images. Women are entitled to express themselves that way as well. That's sort of the lame thing about when they say these women are being exploited. Oh, cut me a break. You know, they're doing what they're doing willingly. However, I also don't really appreciate being taken for granted as a man, whereby somebody's going to tell me what's necessarily sexy or interesting about a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that credit card thing where you slide it through her butt, you know?
Yeah.
I tried that once, and they still wouldn't take my purchase. So it's... So you made a very good point, Jonathan. Those women are willingly participating in an exercise. You know, entertainment's kind of a funny thing. I see a lot of women doing gigs that, man, it's sad, but they're trying to make some money, you know?
Yeah.
Doing lame little bits in shows and, you know, putting on the high heels and the little tight skirt and sitting in a guy's lap, generally mine.
Yeah, you know, the thing that I just don't appreciate is that, you know, these women are getting after the men, you know. Oh, you're saying this, you're saying that, but, you know, why don't they get after the black women also that are, you know, doing this too, you know. That's what I don't
know. No, I don't want them to do that. I want them to leave them alone.
Okay.
Okay? Just go after the guys. All right, pal?
All right.
See you later, man.
All right, thank you.
Are you drinking tonight?
Me?
Yeah.
No, I'm just...
Okay, good. All right. 1-800, I thought I could hear the sound of a bottle cap pop. 1-800-449-8686. So is Hugh Hefner still alive? How about that Bob Guccione? Remember that guy? Where are all these guys that tell us what's beautiful? Where are they tonight, huh? Don't you guys need that, huh? How about, where's Larry Flint? Larry, at least, is getting it sort of right, because the chicks that are in his magazine resemble somewhat the women that we actually do wind up purchasing. I mean, you know, living with. I mean, where are all those geniuses that told us what was sexy, what was right, what was good to look at? All of those little tiny waists and those plastic breasts. And you know those chicks on Sopranos? That ain't even like, you know, it's like... not even interesting anymore. Every time they go to the Bada Bing and you see them there in the, I mean, I'm not saying that if I weren't there, I wouldn't have a wad of 20s out in some denomination, placing them someplace. But all I'm trying to say here is the enhanced breast look has gone beyond anything erotic. It is now, we are now entering the age of we're into space science now, man. We're into aerodynamics here. We're into, they could use that crap that they put into women's breasts today to reinforce Kevlar helmets. I bet you if we got every guy in the United States military breast enhancement, nobody would ever be able to penetrate those things. They look like rock solid. In fact, I know they are. Rock solid, man. Well, I got the new ones. I got the saline. Oh, get out of here. And those kissers with those facelifts and the collagen and the eye jobs. And you guys that are getting the eye jobs, especially you old guys, I got to tell you, man, it is really scary to look at you. When you cats go out there and get those eye, you know, the eye, the women, I don't know what to say because I can't tell on women, but I can tell a guy a mile away when he's had his eyes kind of done where they take the bags out. Have you ever seen that, Ben? It's the scariest thing in the world. You look like you're looking at a guy who's, hello, my name is Melmac. I've just come off the saucer. In other words, he's human, but he's assumed human form. He's like one of those aliens in V. Yeah, hello. Please don't be disturbed by the look of my eyes. I know that they're otherworldly, but I have so much to offer your race. I mean, dude, something wrong with your eyes, man. They're almost Chinese or something. What gives? What's wrong with them? I had them done on my planet before I left to assume the same visage as you humans. Well, it ain't looking good there, Melmac. You're going to have to get something else done with them eyes. These guys, I saw a guy the other day at the Sagebrush Cantina, one of my favorite hangouts up there in Calabasas. Great place to go and party and dance with the one you love, or the one that you are merely in heavy like with, or someone you just met. And this cat sits down, and he's got the big smile on his face. He's got the hair moosed just properly so that there's one strand hanging over the eye, the sort of the Johnny Depp things going on. And, oh, my God, he had lizard face. I mean, the tight, tucked, facelift lizard look on this guy. Then with the eyes that were sort of just ovaled out from the eye job that he had. And I was looking at Ken, the Ken doll. I said, that's a man, but it's not really a man. Nature didn't create that face. Something happened. I don't know whether it was like a serious burn. What do you say about plastic surgery when people are looking at you and going, boom? I don't think it's good. I don't think that's good. And then these chicks that get these eye jobs, and they look like Barbara Bush, man. The eyes are just bugging out. Just boom. They look like Hootie the Hoot Owl, man. Just wow. Just like, huh? Imagine like any cartoon you ever saw where the wolf is looking at the chick and his eyeballs bug out like, yeah, like that. Just imagine that being the eye job of the average American female, and there you go. It's, hi. Well, I would never know that you're mourning the death of your grandmother with your eyes bugged out like that. I'm really sad. How about closing them or something? Can you close them? Not really. I guess, what, do they have to sleep with their eyes open? Do these surgeons, in other words, take all the eyelids out so you just beep? You're like a freaking streetcar, man. Yeah, and so when you go to sleep at night, what do you got to do? Put a washcloth over your face just to blot out the darkness? Or just to get some darkness going on? There's something quite wrong with that, too. I look at my kisser, especially when I was on that Dennis Miller show. I watched a tape of it. Oh, my God. If ever a guy wasn't suited for TV, you're looking at him. Fat, bald, I'm getting a little jolly, and let's see, what else is wrong with me? I'm fat and bald. Other than that, I think I'd, you know, if you want to get me a little one-on-one on that show, Dennis, I could be a good guest, man. Just give me a little of that one-on-one. Throw me some questions. I'll start, boom, 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 firing some of the stuff back at you, man. I can give you a very, very funny and concise synopsis of the war in Iraq and the National Hockey League playoffs just all at once. I'll do the whole thing for you. And I'll come in with a fresh eye job. How about, you know, I'll go to the same doctor that What's-Her-Face went to, Van Susteren. Now, that's a good eye job. What do I know? Our email address, phs@philhenryshow.com, phs@philhenryshow.com. We'll be right back.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The last gasp before the death of radio. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Oh, well, they let that Titanic go. All right. I just saw a thing on TV where they got the little submarine down there with the light and the guy and the beard and the glasses, and he's going, you can see here where it cracked in half. You know, I hope your submarine suffers some kind of a pressure drop, dude. What is with you cats and that Titanic? I hope when you guys go in there, you find, I hope it's haunted. I hope the thing is haunted and they scare you halfway around the planet. Some guy comes out of there looking like Leonardo DiCaprio doing one of them little dances, and the guy, holy jeez, get back in the one-man sub, Bob. Well, it's a one-man sub. Well, looks like there's only room for me. Woo! And off he goes. We can go down to the Titanic now in a one-man sub. Oh, really? What are you going to do down there? Well, we can look and see how it look, how neat it looks. You know, dude, I got over that when I was like 10, you know, going through the old rail yard and looking at all the busted-out counters and stuff and all the old rail spikes. I mean, that's what I did. I was 9. I went into the neighbor's backyard and looked at his old rusted-out lawn furniture. You guys are still doing that. You're jonesing for that stuff with your little one-man sub going down to the Titanic. What, are you going to figure out how to fix it? Maybe bring the people back to life? By God, that's a great idea. Oh, my Lord. Give me that bottle. No, it's mine. Give it to me. You've had enough. Oh, well. That was me and my father. Thanks, Dad.
You're welcome.
All right, coming up on the show now, we have a flashback from last night. Clara Bingham, a middle school teacher, she's fed up with all of this egg-stealing egg-sucking gutter trash that she has to teach. She ties students up. She restrains them with baling wire. And a woman called and said she can't believe this woman believes in God. And this woman said to Clara, hey, you know what? God has a ball gag waiting for you, lady.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
I would like to know the school system that would allow a woman to do the things that you have done when a parent can't even do those things to a child without being arrested.
A lot of the gutter trash.
That we have paid you to abuse our children when there are parents being arrested, when there are parents being put in jail for abusing their own children.
Absolutely.
And we are paying you to do it.
All right, what is your response?
Against the law.
What is your response to that, Ms. Bingham?
So I understand this woman's anger. It should be directed at the gutter trash that puts these children in our schools.
God
now,
would
if
not.
I have to put a ball,
God,
excuse
you know
me,
what?
I
it is up to God.
You,
God is the final judge, ma'am. If you're talking God, He is the judge. You are a very judgmental woman.
Joy, please. God speaks through me. And let me know
no,
his will.
I'm sorry, and I hope that anybody that is listening
and
to this conversation right now hears me say this.
I have to put a ball gag.
Excuse me, I wish I could put one on you every time you've put one on a child. If I ever found a teacher treating my children that way, they would soon find out what it feels like to have
like
them in their mouth, to be humiliated in front of the students, to be treated that way in a teacher's classroom.
You know, Joe, I bet you would enjoy putting a ball gag in my mouth and taking a brew handle to...
Wait a minute.
Well, the lady's talking...
No, wait, hold on for a minute. I don't want this to devolve into some kind of a disgusting display of insults, all right? We're talking about our kids.
Mr. Henry, I'm trying to say, if I've got to put a ball gag in a little girl's mouth to make sure she goes to college, by the hand of Jesus Christ, who guides me in everything
Jesus
that I
Christ
say,
in that.
I'll shove a ball gag in her mouth and 5 generations of the gutter trash she comes from.
Okay,
because I want that child
here
to go to college.
Go ahead, Joy.
Excuse me.
Go ahead, Joy.
I'd like to say something for anybody that's listening. I guess what she has to say is far more important.
Go ahead, Joy.
Anybody that is listening, it is the ignorance of an individual like this that keeps people out of the churches. It's an individual with this kind of ignorance that uses God's name. Our God is a loving God, a forgiving God.
Absolutely.
A patient God. Our God does not do these things to children. So anybody that is listening and has any questions about a God, her opinion of God and her saying that God speaks through her is not a fact. That is her opinion and just that.
Can I get my 30 seconds?
10 seconds. We got to wrap up.
All right, Joy. If I had the opportunity, I would love to kick your butt off that soapbox so bad. I'd slap all of that smart talk out of you. If you're my classroom, you'd know less about talking about God and more about 2 plus 2.
Bill Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
I think, where did she say that God had a ball gag waiting for Clara? Because that was, I was looking forward to that moment. Wasn't that in there? Oh, my God. That was one of the greatest moments of radio comedy in history. That was one of the, it was the funniest part of that bit anyway. Bill Hendry Show.